let's get ready for some serious shift. This is a podcast, Shifting Inside Out, hosted by your quantum shifter, Angie McCourt. We are diving into ways to empower and enable a quantum shift. Inspiring topics, hacks, and guest speakers take us on a journey around authenticity, challenging status quo, personal power, and living a purpose-filled life. Tyson, welcome to Shifting Inside Out. I am so grateful to have you on this episode. To get started, why don't you go ahead and introduce yourself?
Sure, thank you. I am Tyson Savaretti, and I suppose I typically introduce myself as an information security professional, although I have, I also like to say I've lived 1,000 lives. I come from entertainment and whatnot, so it sort of depends on what people are into, but in my day to day, I'm a cybersecurity guy. I work as a consultant. I have worked as an internal and external auditor, and my story probably is a little different than most.
Awesome, and I cannot wait to share your story with everyone. So this is going to be an exciting episode. Okay, so to get started, I usually have each guest kind of talk through a quick round question so that the listeners can get to know you. The first question is, what is your morning ritual?
I start every single morning with a walk, with a 1.5 to 2 mile walk without fail. If it's raining, if it's freezing outside, I just do it. It is such a centering moment. I mean, I eat breakfast and whatnot, and I'm sure I check emails more than I should. But the most important thing about the morning is that walk. And I recommend it to everyone. I mean, it helped me lose weight, and it got me, I think, just gets your mind in the right place for whatever's coming that day.
I love it. Very good. Yes, start the day with a clear mind. And then how do you renew your energy?
Gosh, I don't want it to sound too similar, but I renew my energy by finding alone time, just a place where it can be mostly silent and by myself. I think I can clear things that way.
Mm-hmm. Yep, that may be the introverted side of you. I'm right there with you. That's how I renew my energy best, or in nature. Very good. So what is your guilty pleasure then?
That's a good question. I watch probably less media than most people these days, and it's just because I'm busy. But when I do have a moment, I'll find some silly thing online to watch. Old episodes of, it's Star Trek, whatever. Mm-hmm. And I'll eat, I eat pizza as my guilty pleasure. So I guess I'm a pizza and Star Trek guy.
That's okay. You're allowed to have pizza. I love it. Very good. And it's funny that the things that are like kind of normal, like we feel like those are guilty pleasures, but what it means is that it's bringing us joy. So that's awesome. I love it. Thank you. Okay. So, I want to give just a quick little backdrop. So Tyson was in Exploratory Lab Bootcamp, or X-Labs, Pat Jehant, I call it. Probably 5 or 6 years ago now. It's been a while. And we had the pleasure and honor of just witnessing Tyson as he was working through the final pieces of his college career, making decision around career and what he wanted to do. And it was just such an amazing opportunity and experience for us to watch you. And then what I've continued to witness you through LinkedIn, through your journey and career, has been amazing. But I would love for you to share, because I think it's important for folks to just hear different stories. And what does that mean? And how did you make decisions along the way? And what did you discover about yourself along the way? But go back as far as you want to go in sharing your journey with us.
Well, before there were time and space, there were nothing and a spark of creation. No, not that far back. I always start back in. I considered myself, when I was going to college, a non-traditional student because I was a little bit older. Not super old, and I certainly don't consider myself old now. But I was either early 30s or becoming 30 soon, and so I was going to college finally after many years of the fact of the matter is I would allow people to assume that I had completed college and I was just a bartender. And I'm not disparaging bartenders, but I was a bartender and I was just sort of getting by, and it just wasn't going that well. So I finally went to school for real, and I went to the community college here, then I went to University of South Florida. I didn't know what to do, and I felt really stressed about the fact that I was a little bit older, and I had no way to really justify the way I've spent the previous decade of my life. How it was super interesting. I was an actor. I was a performer, song and dance man in New York City. I was writing and producing shows. I didn't really meet any grand success. I mean, I did have one show go to the New York Musical Theater Festival. I cast myself in it, so it was good. But I was never going to make
Wow.
any money.
I didn't know
But
that.
I always talk odd about it because it was a great experience, and I wonder if I hadn't gone through that, if I'd be having some regrets now that I didn't do something crazy and creative. And so I fulfilled that creative part of me. I was very fulfilled. It was a great experience, but I knew I wanted to own a house someday, and I wanted to retire someday. So that wasn't going to get me there. Maybe I wasn't that good. Maybe the opportunities weren't that. Doesn't matter. So school. And so I was looking for a way. How do you justify being a little older? And maybe this is all in my head, but there needed to be a way for me to stand out. And somehow I came across, maybe it was the university. I came across X Labs. And I mean, this is not even a marketing ploy for it. It really did work for me. What it showed was that no matter what your background was, or who you were, or what stage of your life you were in, there were opportunities within technology that you had not considered because you just don't know. People don't know the opportunities out there. And one of the most wonderful facts that I've repeated many times, and some people would argue with me, is Angie's fact about how men and women traditionally would apply for different roles, and whether you were more qualified or you considered yourself more qualified or less qualified, depending on your gender status, you may or may not apply based upon that. And that was one of those moments. I was like, huh, I totally believe her. I don't even need to see the statistics. That makes total sense to me. And I say, well, how can I take that and expand it? So I started looking into everything, and I looked into cybersecurity, which I knew almost nothing about. I looked into IT audit, which I didn't even know was a thing. And I worked for free for a little while as an intern, just trying to get some experience to justify. I spent a little more money than I needed, or that I had rather, on a certification exam just to prove that I knew something. And this created the small snowball effect, and ha has led to some great things. And it was really a moment. The pivot moment was in X Labs. And I was around a bunch of people my age. There were younger people, people were older than me, and I'm making a big deal about age, but that was just my piece of it. I think a lot of people have something about themselves that they're like, oh, this is sort of this innate thing. Maybe it's age, maybe it's whatever. You have to overcome this blocker because it's not real. It's not a real blocker. And I was lucky enough. I mean, I was fortunate and prepared at the same time. So when opportunity came, I really just allowed it to happen, and I never looked back. And I just try to keep the momentum going. Now I like to say I'm like an ice cutting ship. I'm a little worried if I ever slow down my momentum, I won't be able to go again. So now I just keep cooking. And since then. excuse me. Since then, I finished college. I went back and got a master's degree in cybersecurity. I got a nonsense amount of certifications. At this point, now there's no reason for me to get anymore, which is a nice feeling. And now I'm in law school, so I really want to, improve myself as a professional. So I'm going to use law to become a better information security professional. And the sky's the limit. And I'm telling you, I can trace it back to that 2 month, whatever it was, program. And I'm sure people got different things out of it, but I probably got the most out of it for anybody I've met, maybe except for Angie. But
I love that. Thank you so much for sharing. And yes, it's, I think a lot of times, and it doesn't matter even what stage on your journey you are, if you're exploring more about yourself or if you're exploring something new or you're trying to better understand what opportunities there are so that you can then make decisions, like that is such an important pivotal point that if you have those barriers or those blockers, it can hold you back. And so I love the fact that you were on a seeking mode, trying to uncover, and then also whatever it meant for you, justification or saying, okay, wait a minute, because one of our oldest XLab students turned 65 during the boot camp. So, and our youngest was like 17. So, we had the broad range there, but I think one of the most important things that I realized on that with that entire group of almost 200 students over the 8 years was that everybody's on their journey at different times and that journeys can shift and change. And so I love the fact that you went from this creative journey and exploring that side of yourself, which, by the way, creativity in anything, right, is it, and especially in the technology world, is so helpful. So having that meant you weren't blocked in creativity. So that and then being able to experience meant you got confidence out of that. You got this probably more expanded view of how to approach problems, of how to approach opportunities as well, right? And then you went into the security, the IT audit, really getting into the nitty-gritty. And now with the law piece of it, I love it because security is huge right now, and it's going to continue to be. I think one of the big key focus areas in the innovation space. So, how can you make sure you have expertise around that? Because just like privacy, just like some of these other areas in the cloud, there's still so many unknowns. There's still so many unmanaged and unsupervised, from a governmental perspective, type of thing
Sure.
that, who knows where things will go in the next 10 years. And so you're kind of tying this, like you're building this career, you're creating this career path that it's, I haven't heard it exist. I mean, it may exist, but it's not necessarily well known, right? So I love the fact you use creativity, use that technical experience and expertise, and now you're building your own career, basically.
Yes, and I'm grateful for whatever sort of internal fire that happened or was always there or was uncovered, because to shift a little bit, when so now I'm like, a man has many ages in their life, as they say, right? And so you approach an age where you start to see people younger or less experienced than you, who you look at and you notice opportunity there, or you see potential, I should say. And then now, when I see potential in others, I'm so eager to give them just a small piece of advice. Maybe I can be that little influential moment. And I've had some success. Yesterday, Angie, I used your exact phrasing. I was basically just Angie for a while with this young woman. Her name is Gabby, and she was managing at a restaurant or whatever. And she took a big risk, and she says, "I'm thinking, I just want to change everything." And I was like, "That's so great! You can, and you totally can." And I said, "You've got it. I believe in you. I think you've got the right energy, and you want to, which is really important, and you see it, which is the first step, just being able to visualize it." And so now she went to some code boot camp or whatever, and I was like, "Oh gosh, I don't know if that's what you're into. Absolutely go for it." And she yesterday got a job offer, and she thanked me. She's like, "Thanks for your help. I transitively thank you, Angie." So maybe you felt something yesterday. I was just using. I was like, "You can totally do it. Wherever you are now is it takes 5 years to change your entire life, and you can totally do it." And so I see those opportunities now, and maybe that's wisdom showing its head finally after all these years. Because yeah, I came from the entertainment side. You're completely correct that those skills stack with the technology skills, the information stuff, legal, absolutely. Just being able to approach any problem fearlessly, because you don't consider any weird social situation. You have experience with improvisation and just dealing with people. All those years behind a bar serving drinks is the same thing, the same exact thing. You meet, I'm famous for saying, you meet every single type of person who exists on planet Earth if you spend 6 months behind a bar just serving drinks. It doesn't have to be an alcohol bar, but whatever, in the service industry. And that is such a wonderful opportunity. I've heard people say that, you know, they should require people to work in the service industry for 12 months. And I think they're saying that so you're nicer to your servers, but for themselves, they should, because that allows them just this breadth of experience. It's a cheat code. Plus, you're making easy cash. So why not use the easy method that gives you the most outcome? Why not?
Yeah. So it's interesting that you say that because I've said many, 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 many times that some of my best hires had either customer service, server or bartending experience. And in the tech industry, we move so fast. You've got to make decisions quick. You've got to be able to handle customer sat issues. You have to have a sense of urgency. Those are some real key core, like survival things, right? And if you can do the job in the service industry, then you have a way better chance of being able to be really effective in the tech industry. So
Oh yeah.
there is a
Yeah, and you can
correlation. It is a boot
and you
camp.
can see you can tell people who haven't had experience in service industry. When I'm on meetings with people and I can tell, you know, they've been in the industry so long they used to twist wires to connect, you know, networks together. And I can tell by talking to some of these people, I'm like, have you ever spoken to anyone outside of a cubicle? I mean, and I was like, gosh, what kind of a professional would you be if you were just a little more I don't know, so, not, I don't want to say social, but just sort of aware of people and how they interact. I guess maybe that is social something. Yeah, the word escapes me. But I see when they don't have it. I see when they do have it. And maybe that is that potential that I'm seeing. People who have a little experience dealing with others, I think, have a real head start, whether they know it or not.
Yeah, exactly. And I even found like I've had to uncover some of those experiences during interviews because people don't put them on their resume or they don't talk about them or use them as their examples. And
Yeah.
when like I remember interviewing someone who she's like superstar in the industry right now, but this was many, many years ago, and she was going for more of a internal kind of sales role. And I said, okay, well, you're coming from an ops area. Like, why do you think you have the sales skills? Where do you get that from? Oh, well, for 6 years, I was a server and bartender, and I deal with people, and I know how to influence people and all this. I go, why is that not on your resume? She goes, I didn't think it was important. And I went, that changes the conversation. Let's talk about that now, and let's relate that to the experience that you can bring into this role. So
Totally.
yeah, very very interesting how people actually want to hide that, like it's
Yeah.
not important, or they're ashamed of it even, you know,
Sure.
or it just wasn't
I'm guilty of that.
relevant.
Yeah, exactly. That was before your tell the story speech, you know, later in that program. I think it was one of the final days. I remember it was this little town hall type style thing, and it was tell your story. I was like, gosh, she's totally right. I have almost nothing to say about my experience in this industry I want to get into. So why not talk about the experience I do have that I'm comfortable talking about? So which shows two things. It shows whatever soft skills I may have developed, and also it shows just who I am. And if you're hiring someone, you want to hire the person, not just the facts on their resume.
Exactly.
And so yeah, so I was Mr. Cover Letter then. I was just like, I'll send a resume. Who cares if they look at that? They will read the cover letter if I mention my musical performance or the fact that I juggled. Everyone always loves to talk about the juggling thing. Everyone always, and it comes up more than you think.
That's great.
Like, oh, you can juggle? And so yes, I can juggle. I try to now I weave it in naturally as if it's no big thing. But yeah, I used to lead with it because I was like, gosh, this is the only thing that sets me apart from all these guys and gals who have been doing this for so long. So you gotta have something, and
Yeah.
I, you know, a lot of those folks can't juggle.
Yeah. Well, and you're so right. Like, people who grew up playing musical instruments, that actually says a lot about how you're able to interpret, how you're able to code and develop, how you're able to problem solve. Those are really great skills that actually come out, and even analytical skills from being able to play music. When you think about, I'm a psychology major. How do I go into the tech world? Well, you went into psychology because you're probably analytical. You're analytical in the sense of people, behaviors, and things like that. But yet, that's all transferable to data. That's all transferable to business. And so I think where we get stuck a lot is we're on these vertical paths that somebody says, oh, well, this is where you have to go and this is where you have to stay. Or, I've had so many students that I've worked with their resumes on, and they're like, yep, even though I was a professional or competitive tennis player, I am not, I was told not to put that on my resume, yet you're going for a sales role. No, put the competitive tennis player on there if you don't have a ton of experience, because obviously, salespeople having a competitive side to them is super important, and that can also even bring up opportunities for conversation, right? So, I think
Bingo.
when we think about our story and telling our story right now, especially for all the folks that are dealing with, losing their jobs, trying to figure out how to differentiate themselves, telling your story is so important. Do not just use ChatGPT, even though I love it, to come up with who you are, because if you're going to look the same as everybody else, because they're all using it too. But for cover
I
letters, for
couldn't
your
say it better
interview
myself.
stories, yeah. it's like there is such a big opportunity, I think, for people to really dive deep, understand all of the pieces of who they are, and bringing that into the picture. Because, saying I'm a people person, or saying, I'm very passionate about what I do, that's not enough to really stand out. And so, yeah, the storytelling piece and coming up with your story is so critical.
So true. Yeah, and it's the only thing that really makes you different is your history. Everybody wants to have more money, more freedom, and all the other things that money and freedom can buy, right? More time, more things, whatever. Everybody wants stuff, or they want more time, or they whatever. But what you don't have in common is your past. And so you find what is a little unique, and doesn't have to be individually unique, but like you said, if you were a competitive anything, if you're a competitive video gamer, you know that it takes time and skills, and you have to think quickly and analyze. Obviously, sports has a mind-body connection, which is incredibly important. Do you like to play puzzle trivia games, or you're one of those Rubik's Cube guys who does that really fast? Put that on a resume. It's interesting. They'll have something to talk about. So that weird lull in conversation, someone's gonna be like, well, "Tell me about this Rubik's Cube thing," just as a random example. And the other thing is taking whatever skills you have, you can stack them. And what you should be doing, you shouldn't learn just one simple vertical. You should learn, and you shouldn't learn everything either. You should just stack skills that make sense. And now, if because it's just the two of us, I'll talk about myself. I had the entertainment background, and then I went into security kind of randomly, but it has been a success, and the consulting part, and I think makes that a little bit unique. And then law comes on top of that, and so now you're building a different kind of professional that maybe is a little more unique and sets you apart. You want to avoid getting automated out of your life, so you want a skill stack. I know a computer cannot yet do all the things that I can, and maybe someday they will, but I'll still have a head start. And also, I don't want to face I wouldn't want to face ageism if I can beat it in the future, right? So skill stacking, very important. So it's a mitigation tactic, and it's also an affirmative tactic on how to approach the future. So I mean, it's you have to think about the downsides too. You can't just rah-rah. It's good to build yourself and be unique. You also think about some of the potential downsides that could happen in the world, and how do you insulate from those things with your skills.
Yeah, that's so amazing. I love the fact that you're thinking ahead. Like, you're beating the system, the literally system, with thinking ahead and creatively looking at opportunities. The other thing is that I love, it's not standard, like status quo from a this is the position or this is the title that I want. It's this is the impact and this is what I enjoy and this is how I can bring value into the world in a unique way. And that makes things that package of you unique, you know, and bringing
Yep,
all of
yep.
that wisdom and bringing all of the skills and experiences into, you know, whatever journey you're creating, which is, I'm sure, going to continue to evolve even. Because I think when you open up doors like you did and you have, and you open that kind of what is possible scenario, that's when things come together synchronicity wise. You talked about momentum earlier. I love that because I think that that's so important. And I think when you're in that mode of very focused, very open, that's when those synchronicities happen and the momentum continues to build and build and build and build. And when you're open to, okay, what's next? Which corner should I turn? You know, how should I continue on this journey? That's where the guidance comes, right? That's where it's like you're able to just kind of continue to flow and go with it and take risks in an easier way.
That's right. Yeah, you are taking risks, but they are the risks have less potential impact, to speak from an information security point of view, because you now have the ability to you have momentum in one direction. And I brought up the ice cutting ship. You can't redirect that ship in any easy way. It's going to continue to go forward as long as it can. And so you want to sort of build yourself and build momentum in that way. Be that force that doesn't want to be reactive on exterior forces. You don't want some little thing to disrupt you, which it can if you're sort of listless and the engine is not turning and the steamship's not going up the river. You can get off track, and it takes a little while to get back on track. And there's that is can be stressful. So avoid that stress altogether by trying to keep momentum, keep perspective, of course. And you brought creativity up again. You assigned a book, and I forgot the name.
Creative
Great
confidence.
Creative Confidence. I was going to guess that. That was great. I don't remember much about it, but I remember the feeling I had when I read it. And I remember the point that I got from it was that every scenario, everything that happens is a potential for you to inject some creativity into it. And that's so great, because even in a dry IT job, you have an opportunity, whether it's through how you communicate through email, whether how you introduce yourself or interact with your peers or your clients or whatever. That's an opportunity for you to showcase who you are, be a little creative, work within the bounds and the structures of the organization, whatever. But you have room to wiggle. You really do. And that is something that the AI tools will never be able to recreate the authenticity of a human. They can fake stuff really well. And the downside is a lot of people who want to take the shortcuts will take the shortcuts, but that downside for a lot of people will be a huge upside to people who are willing to take a little risk and skill stack, because it'll be so obvious that those people are not machines. It's weird. I mean, 5 years ago we would talk about this stuff like it was a million years in the future, but now everyone knows it's right behind tomorrow's door. So you have to talk about it as if it's already happening. Yeah, and that's it. So yeah, don't become the machine that you use, right?
Yes, I love that. Don't become the machine that you use. That might be the title of this episode. Are you good with that? I
I
love
love it.
it.
It
Okay.
happened naturally. Yeah.
Yes, exactly. Yes. Okay, so I have a couple of questions. When you were making these, what I would call like deep cuts through the ice, you're in the glacier cutting stage, right? You're going from, I didn't know anything about cybersecurity, deciding to go into cybersecurity. I decided to go get all these certifications. What kind of mindset did you have around that? What kind of confidence did you start out with and have to build through that journey?
There was a period of time where it was blind optimism, I
Okay.
suppose, where I just said, I'm committing to this decision and I'm going to make it work. And that was probably the biggest leap, because there was a little bit of an investment, but there didn't have to be. I just did it in a way that cost a little money. But if it would have been no different if I used tools I didn't know existed at the time, but things to learn and indulge in all this incredible learning that other people have already put together for you. So it was a little bit of a blind step into the darkness, But I think that's every journey has to start with a bit of that. It would be nice if it didn't, but are we really ever successful if every door is opened for us? Are we ever really satisfied? And one of my other things I like to say is people seem stressed, and I get stressed, of course, but I think it's because people are trying to be happy all the time, and you should not be so eager to be happy. Happiness will come. What you want is satisfaction, and satisfaction is attainable, and it lasts a lot longer than happiness. Happiness is a moment, and you're bored. Satisfaction is like you can look around, you can feel like gratitude in general, and it takes a little bit of a blind step every once in a while. Hopefully, you have people who can be on your team. Someone told me once, try to build the team of people who will root for you. And luckily, I was going to school at the time at St. Petersburg College. I'm getting my associate's degree, and a lot of I was sort of already paying for services there, so I went to their little career place, and I just started talking to the guys and gals in there, and I kind of got them on my team. I was just really enthusiastic. I was like, I'm enthusiastic. I don't know what to do exactly, but I know that I can do a lot of things. And they just loved hearing that. And so now I had a person or two on my team, and then I felt like I could do anything, even if they didn't know me that well. It just felt good. And then you will attract other people when you are sort of living your, I don't know, truth or whatever. You will attract the people who will help you along that journey. I don't know how. I don't know if it's magic or what, but it does seem to be true. And I kind of I've recognized that it happens so often. Now I just rely on it, and that's great. You can rely on that stuff. It sounds a little like those self-help books I used to read years and years ago, which I still read. It's that, live your thing, live your bliss, they used to call it. I don't know what they call it now. But yeah, you find people, you attract people, and you gotta just trust the magic, I don't know, within yourself, within others.
Yeah, that's what feeds the momentum. It's amazing.
Yeah, that's right. And once you get a little an easy win, then you are hungry for another easy win. So, take the smart goals, take a small, write a list and cross it off. Start small, get a little momentum. You will want to keep it up. I hope you'll want to keep it up.
I love that you just called out small goals, like breaking down
Yeah.
your goals so that there you can have more celebrations along the way, because I think that also helps to see and feel progress, which is one of our desires as humans, is to feel that progress happening in our lives, happening in our career. That is important, but it's hard sometimes if we set really super large goals and we just are trying to achieve that, and it's like, okay, well, that's years out. But then
Yeah.
we don't feel the progress and we're not celebrating the wins along the way. And so breaking that down into smaller, much more reasonable, achievable, consistent goals, it helps us to create that momentum as well.
The people that are eager for this type of knowledge have heard this stuff over and over and over again, and it's because it's true. I was like, sometimes I would think, why do all these self-help books, why do they all sound the exact same? Everyone has a different approach, but they haven't got the same content. Well, hello. This should be evidence for you that they're talking about something that will probably work for you. So follow the steps, try it out. I don't know. Since they're all similar, you can probably find a book or two that's less expensive, right? And just start there. And you got to do the small goals. You can eat a Buick if you put a spoonful on your Cheerios every morning. It's some silly metaphor I've heard.
We do. How do you eat an elephant? One bite at a time.
Elephant,
That's a
yeah.
famous one in our house.
The elephant, yeah.
Whenever
It's
either
good. I
of
don't know
us
where
are starting to
Buick
feel
came from.
overwhelmed or the kids are getting overwhelmed, it's like, how do you eat an elephant? One bite at a time. And it
That's
calms us down. It's like a really good little mantra we use. So, okay, I have a big one for you, but I want you to take your time with this. So, I could totally see you doing a TED Talk. You have the energy, you have the personality, you would like deliver the message, I think, in such a way that would be so influential and inspirational. What would you do your topic on? Take your time. I can
That is a
edit
good
this, by
question.
the way, so just take your time.
the TED Talk question. This is one I always sort of avoided thinking about because then I was concerned, hey, maybe if I actually decide to do this, then I'll have to carve out time in my busy schedule and practice the TED Talk. And does anybody care? You know, and I don't even know. But yeah, a TED Talk, you have to talk about things that you know. And not long ago, I felt like I knew nothing. You know, I was like, geez, I'm just sort of living and breathing and paying taxes. I don't feel like I have a direction, a vector, you know. And so I think that vector feels or is different for every single person, but I think it feels the same. I think when we are going in a direction and have some momentum, which I think is what a vector is. It's been a while since science class, or algebra, I don't even know. Obviously, my TED talk would not be on mathematics. I think that vector feels the same for people, and that must be the thing that people connect with self-help books and podcasts and shows and things that make you feel good, the setting small goals, all the stuff that we've all heard in different ways. There's some deeper truth there. There's some deeper magic there. So my TED talk would describe my bizarro history. You know, I've lived 1,000 lives, and I'm already thinking about when law school has been crushed and is, you know, in the ruins behind me in my wake. What's next? Am I going to learn how to fly a plane? Am I going to finally give back to the world that I've taken so much from? I don't know. What comes next? Because that is the next step to try to really take. Once you found momentum, once you found a modicum of success, how do you both encourage others to have those same feelings? And how do you literally give back because that positive gratitude comes back to you anyway? And so why not stack your skills, stack your success with the giving and the serving and the helping? So you can do this in information security because technological people can help others with technology. You can do this in law. You know, law, we the world has enough lawyers, but maybe it doesn't have enough legally trained minds because, you know, these people can they can help. They can help and they can change the world, you know, hopefully for the better. So my TED talk is, maybe call it a Tice talk. Maybe I don't need to be on the big stage. Maybe I can do a smaller version of it. And I would weave very beautifully, masterfully, this whole idea of a vector. Once I learn what that is again, I will use that. That's going to be
I
my,
love it.
that'll be the driving factor.
I love it. Okay, you have your topic. That's the beginning of it, right? Yep.
I know. Now I have to do it. Now
Figure it
it's out
out.
there.
Figure out how to
Yep.
weave it in. Yep. 13, 14 minutes. You got this.
It's doable. It's doable. Yeah.
That's awesome. Thank you so much, Tyson. This has been amazing. A quick question. Do you have any call outs that you would like to make, whether it's a book, a website, a class, certification, nonprofit, anything that you are really fond of that you would like to share with listeners?
I have nothing that I'm trying to sell. The only charity I give to is Meow Now, which is spays and neuters cats in Pinellas County.
Awesome.
And it's just something I just love, city kitties. And but really, I'm here because I wanted to give back to you in some small way. You were influential in my journey, and so this is that. So I'm calling out reflexively. I'm calling out this podcast itself. So thank you, Angie.
Aw, thank you. That's awesome. Well, I'm very happy to have you on, and I'm so glad to hear other parts of your journey that I didn't get to hear during X Lab. So that's really awesome. I love it. And thank you for sharing your vector Tice talk, because I think that
Yes.
is definitely going to come to fruition in the future. So thank you, Tyson, for being on the show. It was definitely a very insightful conversation. I think we already figured out our title, so excited about that. And just appreciate you taking your time out of your very busy schedule. So crazy. If you like this episode, you can LinkedIn me at Angie Belts McCourt and let me know. And if you really want to say thank you, please leave a review on Apple Podcasts. Thanks so much, Tyson.
Thank you. Thank you.